Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa habibana wa shafi'ana wa maulana Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Fa'idha qudiyatis salatu fantashiru fil awdi wabtahu min fadlillahi wadhkurullaha kathiran la'allakum tuflihun. Sadaqallahul aliyyul azim. وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Respected ulama, elders and brothers, next week on Friday, this country and many countries in the world will honor workers by dedicating a special day which they call Workers' Day on the 1st of May. On the outset, you and I need to understand a very important aspect of this beautiful deen of Islam. In that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. And certainly we had made you an ummah which is justly moderated. Everything in Islam is balanced. And if this ummah begins to follow the ahkam and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has revealed it, because it is our yaqeen, it is our belief that each and every law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is justly moderated and justly balanced. The people before us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَهْبَانِيَّةً ابْتَدَعُوهَا مَا كَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ فَمَا رَعَوْهَا حَقَّ رِعَايَتِهَا. They had not taken advantage over the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had balanced our life between our acquisition of the hereafter and at the same time to fulfill our needs in this material world. And in doing so with the correct niyyah and intention, one can also enhance one's acquisition of the hereafter. When we look through the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will find that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam not only permitted one to pursue this material world, but in many instances Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had encouraged it. But at the same time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had set two objectives in the acquisition of wealth. One is the niyyah, the intention. And secondly, it has to be halal, it has to be pure, it has to be permissible and according to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when we look more especially at the different modes of income, we will find, like Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahumullah used to say, that the greatest mode of income, the greatest occupation a person can possess, that is to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be it on the battlefield, be it in the other avenues of deen, whether one is learning or teaching the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter we find many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which speak about the virtue of one that engages in trade. But together with that, we had found that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had never forgotten those who have to earn through laborious tasks, those who have to earn, who have to labor in their earnings, those who have to earn with their hands, and what we will call today the commemoration of Workers' Day. When we look in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we'll find Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was a very great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was said about him, أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ بِالْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ. He was the most learned among sahaba, making him the most learned of this ummah in matters of halal and haram. Some have referred to him as the mufti of this ummah. A great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, insofar as his ibadat was concerned, over and above his knowledge. And so great was Hazrat Mu'az radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that on one occasion Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was going out on an expedition. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had entrusted Hazrat Mu'az to become the Imam of Medina in the absence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as was the habit of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But just the fact that Mu'adh was given the privilege of becoming the successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his absence shows the great personality Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu was. Nonetheless, on the return, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam comes back to Medina Tayyibah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meets Hazrat Mu'adh. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam sees on the hand of Hazrat Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala anhu blisters. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam saw the rough skin of Hazrat Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam asked Hazrat Mu'adh, "Oh Mu'adh, what is this?" Sayyidina Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala anhu responds and he replies, and he says, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whilst I had to see to the needs of the people, which of course I had tried to fulfill to the best of my ability, and we cannot doubt that. But together with that, I was chopping wood, which I would sell to see to the needs of my wife and children." What does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do, friends? Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam takes the hand of Hazrat Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and he kisses the hand of Hazrat Mu'adh. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, hadhihi al-yad, these hands, la tamassuhu an-nar, the fire of Jahannam will not touch it. Similarly, the incident of Hazrat Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, also a very great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that on one occasion he comes forward and he meets Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and in making musafaha, in shaking the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sayyidina Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu puts his hand into the hand of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they also feel the blisters, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, "Ya Jabir, oh Jabir, what is this? What has happened?" Hazrat Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I mend the shoes of people. And in mending the shoes of people, this is the consequence and the result. But I do it for my wife and my children." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the hand of Hazrat Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and he kissed the hand of Hazrat Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and he said, "Similarly, this hand, the fire of Jahannam will not touch it." Friends, brothers, if you want to understand what is the connotation and the meaning of this, how sublime and how blessed were these sahaba, it was not for the ibadat, it was not for the excessive salat that they had performed, it was not for the tilawat of the Quran Kareem that they performed, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed the hand. It was not because of a sword that they held in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it was because they had labored, they had toiled to earn their living, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had kissed the hand. To understand this, the lu'ab, that blessed saliva of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, Sayyidina Imam Abu Dawud rahimahumullah, we all know he was a great muhaddith. Once, Sahal Tastari rahmatullah alayhi comes in the presence of Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullah alayhi, and he says to him, "Oh Imam, stick out your tongue. Stick your tongue out so that I may kiss your tongue." Imam Abu Dawood sticks out his tongue and Sahal Tastari kisses the tongue of Abu Dawood and he says, I have done this because from your tongue emanates the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Blessed are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Blessed is that mouth and that tongue and that saliva that utters the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And here the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself kisses the hand of these two great sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum just by virtue of the fact that they had toiled laboriously to earn their living for the sake of fulfilling that requisite of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the maintenance of the family. Now we find many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that indicate the great virtue of halal earnings. But at the same time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not forgotten the working class people, those who have to labor and those who have to toil. We find one narration, for example, Hazrat Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a narrator. He says it was asked to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that which ibadat, which action is the most superior in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, jihad fi sabilillah, to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then nonetheless, he asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam the question, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which slave should be freed? In other words, if a person has the choice of freeing different slaves, then which slave should that person free? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, that slave that is most expensive. In other words, the one that has the highest value. So we learn the important lesson from here also, that when we are giving out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should give out that which is best and most valuable. And then he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I'm unable to do so, that perhaps I do not have the means, I do not have a slave. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, and Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam replied, then in that case, to help a person in his laborious tasks. Somebody is trying to accomplish some task, a person may be building, or a person may be doing some carpentry, or whatever he may be doing with his hand. To assist that person is also a great act of reward in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes one step further and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I'm unable to do that also, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam says, then to uplift and to help a person that is incapacitated. Respected and dear friends, we have just come out of an election. And perhaps it is most appropriate for you and I to just focus on a very important aspect. The party that will rule has won the election. But you and I, together with all that, we need to look at our interests and the interest of Islam. That at this particular stage, we also have responsibilities. And amongst the responsibility that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had showed us is development and upliftment of the underprivileged. You know, when you look at that hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we'll just spend a second or two on this. When Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam had come back from the cave of Hira, and Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam comes back to the house of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam exclaimed, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, O Khadija, wrap me, because of the shiver of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. And when he makes the statement that I have fear for my life, what does Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah will never disgrace you. Friends, Allah will never disgrace you. Why wouldn't Allah not disgrace you? Not because you have spent hours and days in the Mount of Hira, in the cave of Hira. It's because you had uplifted the underprivileged. Because you had seen to your relatives, you have been hospitable to your guests. And whoever needed and sought help, you had assisted them. So this responsibility is an added responsibility on the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you and I. That whoever it may be, Muslims or non-Muslims, the task of development of the underprivileged will always remain the responsibility of the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nonetheless, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu takes the discussion further insofar as laboring and toiling. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, once we were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a certain occasion. Some of us were fasting, whilst others were not fasting. It was an extremely hot day. And in the heat of the day, We felt the heat to such an extent that we began to protect our bodies with our hands. The little shade that will come through for the, because of the palm of the hands being above the body, that was the shade that was only available to us. We came to a place, we had a piece of cloth, and we began to pitch up a tent. Those who were fasting, they remained seated. It is obvious they were tired. And those who were not fasting labored in erecting this tent. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exclaimed, and he said to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, those of you who have labored, you are more superior in the eyes of Allah. We find one riwayat and one narration that two persons came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and they had a third person with them. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked these two Sahaba, tell me the condition of that one person. So they began to explain to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's a very pious person, and by no means it is implied that we should not be performing our salat, and we should not be exerting ourselves in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should not be exerting ourselves in the other ibadat. But on this particular occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked about the condition of this person, and they began to explain that, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this person, besides his far salat, he observes all the nawafil, all the other optional prayers, he fasts the optional fast together with the first fast, etc. And they began to explain to Nabi alayhi salam that he is a man that is engaged in 24 hours ibadat. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Christian, then who looks after all his property? He's a person that had camels, he has a person that had some other animals. So the two replied that we look after all his property. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then in that case you are more superior to him. Then we find at the time of the construction of Masjid al-Nabawi, a person from Hadramaut, from Yemen, from South Yemen, he was also in Medina Tayyibah, and he was helping the Muslims and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to construct the masjid. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was very observant by character. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observed that this person, whatever he was doing, he had mastered and he was doing an excellent piece of work. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commented and he said, I see you have mastered the art of building. And for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you. So beloved friends, when we look at all these ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will come to the conclusion that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had never ever forgotten any single fraternity of this ummah. Be the ulama and the scholars, be the mujahideen, be the muballighin, those who are involved in the work of tabligh and da'wat ilallah, be those who are involved in trade and commerce, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had also not forgotten those who do the laborious tasks and who earn their living by that labor. But together with all that, the objective is that one earns halal sustenance. Like Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has stated in the Quran, Ya ayyuha rusul, kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu saliha. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala commanded Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam to earn a halal earning, a halal rozi. And on the converse, we will find that there was a person by the name of Mud'im. He was a slave that used to go around with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This Mud'im was so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that on many journeys, he would accompany Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in what we will term as an attendant, as a khadim. He was the khadim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in many ways. And on one particular journey, he carried the luggage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And whilst they were progressing on that journey, a stray arrow comes, hits this person, he falls to the ground and he dies. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were overjoyed at the kind of death that this person had experienced. One is, he's in the path of Allah. Secondly, besides being in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person is the khadim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the attendant of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. Over and above that, right in the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. So can we imagine what joy Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had expressed at the time when they saw this person. But nonetheless, somebody exclaimed and they said that this person is in Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped them in their tracks and they said, how can you say something the knowledge of which you do not have? So Sahaba was shocked. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, I have been informed, that is now, that this person had a blanket or a shawl or a covering which he had taken from the booty, the spoils of a particular war that was not rightfully taken. In other words, it was embezzled. And because of that, that blanket will become his fuel in the fire of Jahannam. Now friends, we just need to analyze that no matter how close a person may be to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no matter how much a person may strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he may carry the luggage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but over and above that, if his earnings was not halal, if his sustenance was not halal, if he had embezzled, then undoubtedly we see from this narration that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take him to task. On uttering that, a person said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, actually he came forward and he placed two laces in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the shoe. And he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please accept this from me. In other words, it was acquired in an illegal way. And now I am returning it to you. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, are you giving me two pieces of lace of the fire of Jahannam for me to carry? So beloved friends, whilst the world will commemorate the 1st of May and call it Workers' Day, we will find that in this beautiful deen of Islam, our Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam had showed due respect, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had saluted those who had worked with their hands in whatever way it may be. In the eyes of people, it may seem to be something that was very insignificant. But in the eyes of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is meritorious. I will conclude. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to work on certain occasions in the land or in the gardens of a certain Jew by pulling out water from the well in buckets. And for that, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to earn a living, and that more than often his salary was by way of kajur, by way of dates. And on many occasions, he would bring the dates that he earned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would partake of the dates, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would show his happiness to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the ability. May Allah ta'ala give us the proper understanding of deen, that this is a balanced deen, and every aspect of this deen, every individual of the deen of Islam, every Muslim has been given a value in the eyes of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.